I want to remind us of what Jesus brought to us when he brought us those two words. Grace and truth came by Christ, came by Jesus Christ. There's plenty of verses in the Old Testament that give us that idea of grace and truth. And grace, we use that idea of God's riches at Christ's expense, or unmerited favor, kindness that God wants us to have and to demonstrate to other people, grace. But then to not leave truth aside in the way. You know, grace is great, but Christ brought grace and truth together. That idea of a balance, that you can't have grace without truth, and you can't have truth delivered without the grace of God. Most of us begin to understand that when we get saved, because we realize that the truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I was trying to turn that the verse there in the book of Acts where Peter was preaching after he had healed a man, and they were asking him, "By what power or what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the truth of Christ says you got to have the right one. You got to have the right way, the right truth, and the right life. It only comes through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. The grace is God's forgiveness and mercy and love that says you don't deserve it, but I offer it to you anyway. You're not worthy. You need it most of all. You're not worthy of it, but I offer it to you through the truth of Christ. And that should be our desire. I don't think any of us are there. I went off on that tangent talking about balance. You know, I can't count how many people, I think last week when I tried to take two steps at the same time and tripped a little bit, didn't fully face plant, but you know, I'd lost my balance. I lost my grip with the floor, and a couple, you know, two or three people ask if I had a nice trip or if I, you know, and everybody saw it. And then, but that idea of always about being about to fall, that idea of keeping your balance, you know, learning to ride a bike. We were upstairs working on the balcony Monday or Tuesday, and it's Brother John is risking his life being up there right now because the wall is about this high right now. And Pastor was walking toward the front, and he tripped, and he was headed toward the wall. And I said, "Now see, you survived, so I can tease about this, but nobody was here to see that." I get 15 comments about losing my balance all the time. But it's hard for all of us. It's more hard for, you know, those of us that aren't proportioned the right way to keep balance between falling and walking. Riding a bike, you're trying to teach somebody to ride a bike. It's constantly keeping from tipping over. You have to keep forward momentum so you don't go to the left or the right. But that idea of grace and truth, and it's all throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, it uses the words faithfulness, meaning trustworthy and true. And it uses the word love, talks about God's promise to his people. Even though, again, they didn't deserve it. You know, he made a promise to Abraham, Father Abraham. And over and over again, the people strayed and went their own way. But it talks about the love that God had for his people and the faithfulness that God showed to them when they were unfaithful to him. It says in Psalms 85, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." And it says in Psalm 86, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." And again, you can't have any one of those things without the other, because truth with no mercy means the truth is we deserve hell. Now, if somebody just said that and walked out, you'd be sad because you wouldn't have any of that mercy in there that says we deserve hell, but God offers us eternal life through salvation, through his shed blood, through his death and his resurrection. So you can't have the truth and leave out the mercy, and you can't have only mercy without giving people the truth. If I just said God loves you no matter what you do, no matter what you believe, no matter who you believe in, or believe in nothing at all, or believe in everything, I've given you lots of mercy and grace, but I haven't given you the truth that neither is there salvation in any other than the name of Jesus Christ. You got to have both. That's the point. I'll succinctly say, you gotta have both. And it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. In Colossians it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That there is a reason for talking to people. I always tease with people, I am introverted, I am shy. You know, half of the sweating is not because I'm overweight, it's because I'm nervous all the time. But I don't like to just walk up to people and say, hey, how's it going? But I also come across sometimes the opposite way, because I don't start to talk right away, and then why is that guy just standing there staring at me, you know? So it's hard to balance it, but that's not my personality. But we have a reason for speaking to one another. We have a reason for sharing the truth that God has given to us, but it needs to be seasoned. It needs to be, we need to decide what we're going to say before we start to talk, that we ought to be able to answer every man. It says in 2 Corinthians, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I think Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one time, and he was talking about how, what's a good way of saying it? He was talking about how picky they were with their paying their tithes of all the spices that they had. OCD. They were very obsessive about making sure that they covered everything, dotted every I, crossed every T. And Jesus said, you should not have left that undone. He said, he left out the weightier matters of the law. And he mentioned love and grace. And he said, it's good that you are very obsessive about the law, but you left out grace. And he said, it's important also. You abound in this grace also, or strive for the mastery. Excel in that area of grace, so you can use that grace to deliver the truth that God has given to us. We talked about it in the opening assembly in Sunday school, that we're supposed to be that conduit or that pipe, you know, the mechanism that gets the love of God, the truth of God's word to people that don't have it. You know, like a missionary is someone that takes the truth of God's word to people that have never heard it. And all of us can be a missionary in that way, and we are the conduit that God uses. I don't know about you, but you know, even in the last few years, looking at City of Flint or other places that don't have clean water because of the way it gets to them through the pipes or through the distribution system or where they got it from. And that's a scary thought. But us as Christians, we are the last thing that touches the grace of God before it gets delivered to other human beings. And I don't want to put anything in there that God doesn't want in there. I don't want to contaminate the grace of God in getting it to the people that need it. So we need that balance. Peter said in 2 Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And Peter was ending his letter, but it's a reminder to us that we might have saving grace, we have trusted Christ, we might have the grace that we needed up until this point, but we need to keep growing in grace. Again, I'm sure all of us do this, but it's hard not to worry. You know, when I think about, Angie mentioned Dominique graduating from high school, I can't begin to imagine what's going through her mind having a kid that is about to enter. I don't want to make it worse, but just the idea of, you know, that a kid's about to leave home, and I just start to think about that, and I start to hyperventilate because I'm thinking about my kids right now and thinking about when I get to that stage in life. But I don't need the grace that God is giving to her because I don't need that yet. So my responsibility isn't to worry about that. It's to ask God for the grace I need for, you know, 8-year-old, 5-year-old, and a little baby girl. We were trying to get Anna to fly away earlier, trying to keep that tradition going. But I need that grace for today, and I need to pray and make sure that God gives me the grace that I'm available to receive it when that time comes. So we need that grace. We need that truth. It's all in the Bible. It's all throughout the Word of God. And we know that God's grace is undeserved, but we know we need it. We know that the truth of the Word of God is needful, and it's the only way of salvation, but it's the only way of balance in our life. It's for every situation, not just for salvation, but for every situation that we deal with, in learning how we speak to one another, in the way that we approach different situations in life. And really, if you think about it, many of us mentioned tonight Thea, but you think about the people in your life that have made a difference and have a tremendous impact in your life. Okay, so we mentioned one over and over again tonight, and I didn't know Reg and Thea for very long, as many of you have known them, but they always were that example to me of truth and grace. Brother Ray, and he, you know, him being a preacher and a pastor, he would always try to be an encouragement to me. He would always give me little things that he would put, little reminders that he would put in his notes. He'd say, you know, if I struggled with this, I would put something in my notes to remind me at this point what to do. And he always tried to give me a truth. He always tried to help me. And he showed that grace. And Thea, of course, was always an encouragement. Every time she would walk out the door, she would always be an encouragement and say something that she had tried to listen to what I was rambling about. So she had paid attention, and then she would give me something that she got from it. And I thought for both of them to show that grace. You know, when they could have just said, aren't you glad I stayed through that mess? And I would have been happy with that. But instead of doing that, they listened and responded and showed grace. Many people in my life have been that way. And really, when you stop and think about people that made an impact, that's what stands out, is the grace and the truth. We talked about mothers, our mothers, last week. And that type of person that's in your life where you know that they will forgive you, you know that they love you, but you also know that they're going to tell you the truth. You also know that you're going to be ashamed if you've done something you shouldn't have done, that you're going to answer for it, that there's going to be a consequence, and then they're going to show you that grace. And that's what you remember. That's the influence that sticks with you. That's why it's so important to say, well, I'm not real good with truth, but I just want to love everybody. Well, then you miss the chance to deliver truth. You miss the chance to be an influence. Or you might be the other extreme and say, well, you know, this is what the Word of God says. If you don't believe it, I don't have time to talk to you. I never want to see you again. Get out of my face. Then if you're all truth and no grace, you never get the opportunity to share that truth with somebody else because you haven't mastered the balance. And we got to be careful. You know, we talk about putting up guardrails or saying stay as far away from sin, but grace says you shouldn't have done that, and I warned you not to do it, and I ask you to stay as far away from it as you can, but now you've hurt yourself. I'm going to show you grace, and I'm going to try to get you back to truth. I'm going to try to use grace to get you back to truth. Jesus always gives us what we lack. I'll go back to the text that we read. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And then grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He always gives us the things that we lack. And all of us lack both grace and truth. It has to come from God. But once we get right with God, as far as our salvation, as far as our daily living, we need it not just for ourselves, but we need it for other people, for serving other people. Again, we talked about it in Sunday school. If you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. I don't know about you, but every time I hear that phrase, there's a list of people in my mind that I think, well, I hope he's not talking about this person because, you know, I don't want to help them and they get on my nerves. Whatever that person is in your mind, when you've done it under the least of these, you've done it unto me. And it always convicts me because I think, well, I help my friends and I help the people that I think really need help, you know, and I make those decisions. And then there's that group of people that I don't want to help. Does it mean since I didn't help the least, you know, the least of those that I didn't ever get to help in Christ? And Jesus is the one that gives us the example to follow. If he was known for anything bad to the world, it was that he was a friend of sinners. It was that he ate and drank with sinners, that he was around, you know, the woman at the well that had been married 5 times, or the woman caught in adultery when he said, let the one of you without sin cast the first stone. For some reason, because of the ministry that Jesus had, he was always around undesirable people. He was always around the people that needed grace and truth. He made sure that it happened that way. And I think since he's God and since he knew what he was doing, that it wasn't always an accident that he got caught around all these people. He was there on purpose. He was there to show grace and truth. Even to his friends when Lazarus died, when he wept and when he told them, he wept and showed the grace. And then he told them the truth that he was the resurrection and the life. And he always delivered both. He's our example. He makes up for where we lack. And the reason he gave it to us is so we could share it with other people. The Bible says in Colossians, let your conversation walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. And the Bible commands that. And the Bible tells us if we want to be like him, we have to figure out how to balance that. We have to work at it every day. Every day I get, one time during the day I scream and pull my hair like this. That's why I'm going bald right now. But we have to get to that point every day and say, you know what? I'm out of grace. or I don't want to acknowledge the truth anymore. And this is where I need Jesus to come in and make up the difference. And he will. In my whole life, I've been challenged by missionary stories, and I've told many here about missionaries that, you know, they give up everything to go somewhere where people are not going to know who they are. Half the time, they're not going to like them, and they might try to kill them. But their goal is not to be liked. It's not to be so much understood, but it's to get the love of God to people that have never heard it. C.T. Studd said, "Some people like to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell. I want to build a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Another missionary I always go back to is David Elliott, the guy that was, you know, in trying to minister to Indians in South America, and he was flying in gifts, and sometimes they would give gifts back, and then one day they landed with five missionaries, and they were killed with spears. And his wife later went back to that same area and met some of the relatives of the murderers, the people that had killed her husband, and led them to Christ. And that idea of the ones that remain say, you know what, the goal was to give them Christ. So if that meant taking a life, if that meant whatever it took, the reason we went there was so that God's love could be demonstrated. And Jesus gave his life so that grace could be given. It's a challenge to us. We don't live there every day, but we need to. We don't think about life and death things every day, but we need to. We need to realize that God has sent us to get the gospel to the least of these. It's real easy to put everybody in categories and say, well, these people are my enemies. And so since they're the enemy, I don't have to witness to them. But then Jesus went and said, love your enemies. So he messed that up for us. You know, it's real easy to say, this is where I draw the line. I can't do anything else. And then Jesus says, greater love hath no man than a person would give his life, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And every time we draw a line and say, this is as far as I'll go, Christ says, well, I went to the cross. You know, I gave my life for you. Jesus makes the difference when we run out of grace. Jesus makes the difference when we won't acknowledge the truth that we need to share with other people. So real quick, and we'll be done, ask yourself, and I've asked myself this, again, when we mention it in Sunday school, every time it comes up, it convicts me. Do people like me because of my Christ-likeness? Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Would people miss me the way we talked about today? When I'm gone, are people going to say, there was an example of grace and truth? You know, they could have been bitter and angry and always sharing their crazy opinions, or they were telling me the word of God. They were an example of grace and truth. When you're gone, will people say, I missed the parts of Jesus that I saw in him or her? When you're gone, will people ever say, you know, every now and then they would offend me because they would tell me the truth, but I miss having somebody that always told me the truth. So either way you go, whether you are known for your grace or known for your truth, hopefully we're known for both. Think about those influences on your life. Like, again, you wanted to be around them because of grace, and you kind of feared them a little bit because you knew they would always tell you the truth. We need to learn to love every sinner and hate every sin. Again, we all do this. We say, well, some sin, you know, it's not too bad. Some sinners, well, not too bad. I could, you know, we compromise, and we don't love every sinner, and we don't hate every sin. And we got to get to that point. That's where Jesus lived. And then the last one, we need that constant communication that comes from being in the presence of Christ. We live our life checking in, and I hate this about myself, but I do it all the time, that we, you know, even on the internet, we just kind of check in. Well, I haven't seen what's everybody been doing in the last 30 minutes. But I want you to think about, if you got on an airplane, or even if you got on a bus with a group of people, and the driver or the pilot got on the PA and said, I just want to let you guys know I'm flying 4 other planes today. And I'm down here in Houston. I'm based in Houston. I'm in charge of 4 planes today. I'm piloting by remote. And I'm going to just want to promise to you, I'm going to check in with you every 15 minutes, make sure everything's still going good, you know, make sure the plane's still in the air. You would be frightened. I would be frightened if that was the way they decided to fly the planes, that they just kind of checked in every now and then to make sure everything was good. No, you want somebody that is constantly paying attention and listening to you and watching the situation and trying to guide you. And that's what Jesus has offered to us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But a lot of our time, we spend checking in with God. You know, I check in on Sunday morning. Yep, God's still good. Heaven, hell's still hot. You know, we check in and then we go live about our lives. And instead of living in constant communication with Christ, pray without ceasing, that he's in every area of our life. And again, we learned this as a child. You put a kid in a go-kart, they turn the wheel all the way this way, turn the wheel all the way this way. This is how mommy and daddy drive, you know, all the way in. But that's not how you drive. You pay attention and you compensate. You make adjustments. If you're going like this when you're driving, then you might have a problem. And if you're going like this in the Christian life all the time, because it's constantly checking in, leaving, checking in, and leaving again, you're not in that communication. And Jesus says, I have a will for you to do. I have grace and truth. And it's a balancing act. You can't be falling one way and then coming back 30 minutes later and trying to compensate. You'll be too late if you do that. It's grace and truth. I had one other quote I was going to read into you about that balance that we do. I don't have it in front of me right now, but the devil doesn't care which way you fall off your horse. He doesn't care if you fall toward truth or if you fall toward grace, because you're trying to balance to stay on the horse, right? The devil doesn't care which way you fall, just as long as you don't stay on the horse. And it's true for us as Christians. The devil does not care where we get off track, whether we're too much truth where no one will listen to what we say because we show no grace, or whether we're too much grace that there's no point in listening to us because there's no truth. The devil doesn't care as long as we don't stay on the horse. And it's a balance, and Christ is the one that keeps us balanced. So we need to stay in his word, communicating with him. And again, those people that God put in your life, the reason you remember them is because they were a picture of Christ. They showed that grace and they showed truth. And you'll never forget them. They'll never be far from you. You'll see them again in heaven someday. But the way that they stay with you now is because they demonstrated, they had that ability to balance and to demonstrate Christ in their life. So be thankful to those people. Say, God, I hope you make me that type of person so I can show your grace and your truth to the whole world, to my friends, enemies, and the least of these that need it, and to be a witness for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for each person that you put in my life, one that was willing to be patient, one that was willing to be truthful, one that was willing to show grace to lead me to the knowledge of Christ. Help us never take a person like that for granted. Help us never take Jesus that way, that we just say, I'll check in with him time to time, make sure I'm doing okay, that we'd make him our best friend, that we know he never leaves us, and we'd never try to stray away from him, that we draw nearer to him, so we can do the things that he's asked us to do. Thank you for loving us. I pray you bless this invitation. If something said any time today, in a handshake, in a sermon, in a song, anything that spoke to us tonight, that we deal with it and make a decision about it tonight, bless our time together. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.